morning. Well, this summer, as many of you know, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke, and specifically the kind of middle section of the Gospel of Luke, in which Jesus is on his way. Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem. He's heading to his cross where he'll die. And as we've been reminding ourselves, as he is on this way, he is talking a great deal about discipleship, what it means or what it looks like to follow him. And along with teaching about that, he is calling the crowds to join him and to become disciples. But along this way also, there are people who don't like what he's saying and doing and become hostile towards him. And if you were here last week, we saw this happen. There was a lawyer who sought to test Jesus publicly, to put him to the test. There was a hostility that he didn't like what Jesus was saying or how Jesus was going about things. And so he puts a question to him. Well, this week we see a different experience. There was a hostile encounter, but now Jesus is received with kindness and with welcome. He is shown hospitality by two sisters, Martha and Mary. This hospitality not only provides necessary practical care, but it is a sign, especially through the Gospel of Luke, it is a sign of faith. It's a sign of expressing a receiving and a welcoming of Jesus. This is the one I want in my life, in my home. But I should say, though, as before we read, that our text is not just about two women. It's not just about these sisters, Mary and Martha, one being busy and one that was sitting. But it's a story about Christian discipleship, about service, and it's directed to all of us. Really, the passage is about distraction. It's about busyness. How do we engage? How do you and I engage in meaningful service without losing ourselves? Or as Jesus says, how do we serve without missing the one necessary thing, the one thing that's required? So let's look at our passage. This is Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. It's printed in your order of worship. You can follow there or in your Bible. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've gathered us here and you've called us to come and gather in your name. And Lord, we come as a people anxious and in need of hearing from you, to encounter again your grace and the depth of your love. Lord, we know what it is to be a busy people, to have all sorts of trouble and distraction and stress. Lord, we pray that your word would give us encouragement, that we might find rest in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I just read in our passage, that Jesus is on his way. He is going, he's on his journey, and as part of that, he enters a village, and there a woman named Martha welcomes him into her home. And suddenly, if you notice, that the group that was going with Jesus fades into the background, and we're left with three persons, three characters, if you will. Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And this morning, I want to use those three as the sections of the sermon. For us to make our way through this passage, we'll look at Mary, then Martha, and then what Jesus has to say. So we should start with Mary, who was introduced as Martha's sister. Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, but as soon as we go into the house, as Luke leads us in, we're told about Mary, and we're told about what Mary is doing. She does one thing. She sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. Now, it's helpful for our distance from this passage. that we understand that sitting at one's feet, it might bring out this idea of fascination or having kind of being adoring someone, that we might think about celebrity in our culture today, like this fascination or adoring someone who is famous for a variety of reasons. But that's not what is being pictured here, not what's being described. It's not just fascination or to adore someone, but rather the phrase of sitting at someone's feet was an intentional phrase about discipleship, about I am connected to this person because I want to hear what they have to say, that this person has to say. And so Mary takes the position, the posture of a disciple, that I want to hear what Jesus is saying, for he has words that are true and wise. There is an activity, a paying attention, taking an initiative that she will find her place to hear words that she needs to hear. But yet, even as I talk about Mary's activeness, which is right for us to see her taking the initiative to find this spot at Jesus' feet, it's helpful also to recognize that being a disciple, that this posture that she takes of activeness is really one to receive. Do you see that there's an initiative to get there, an initiative to focus on Jesus, but what she's come to do, what she's ready to do, is to receive from him. And as you and I think about discipleship, I think about this idea of giving ourselves to a certain way, it's good to ask, what is faith? What is our kind of orientation, our posture? What does it look like? Francis Schaeffer, an author, wrote that faith, the way that he pictured faith, was like a child's open hands receiving a gift. Maybe picture a child on his or her birthday or on a holiday, the joy of opening one's hands and receiving what is being given to you. Knowing that those hands did not create the gift, those hands did not make the gift come forward, but they are there to receive a blessing, a present that's been provided. And there is a picture there of this active receiving. I am ready to receive what is being given to me. And that's the picture that Mary offers us in our passage. That she takes the posture of a disciple. Now, it was somewhat unusual in the culture of the day for a woman to be described as a disciple. Yet Mary takes her place. And she's active to be there and ready to listen and to open herself to Jesus. And importantly, Jesus receives her. Jesus welcomes her to be there, to hear his words and to receive the good blessings that he has to give. And so Mary in our passage gives a picture of discipleship, a picture of this active receiving, an active passiveness of giving the gift, receiving the gift that God gives. But it's her focus on Jesus, it's her commitment to be there, ready to receive with this posture, that becomes the pivot point, the point of tension between the two sisters. Right? You notice that, I'm sure, that Martha, unlike Mary, is busy. She is busy. We read that Martha was distracted with much serving. I imagine that I don't have to describe such a thing for you all, that we all can maybe relate to that sense. A house full of guests, the desire to be a good host, to take care of things. And as Martha works and as Mary continues to not help her, frustration slowly builds. Our passage moves quickly, but I can imagine it took a little time. Martha always kind of wondering, when is Mary going to come and join me? When is she going to help me? The frustration building, the anger maybe burning little by little more intense. What is she doing? I can't believe that she's leaving me to take care of everything. I don't know what that's like for you or in your family and your household. We can think of different strategies of how we handle that. Maybe you witnessed growing up or that you do, but you know, maybe clearing your throat loudly. Hey, you remember me doing all the work over here? Some loud sighs as you set things down, move around, trying to catch the other person's eye. Imagine Martha staring at Mary, hoping that she'll see her and you know get up. Maybe banging the dishes, banging together pots in the kitchen. Hey, I'm working over here, and I need some help. Anyone who has watched others sit idly by while running around, taking care of things, getting things done, we know what it's like, what Martha is feeling. We can identify with that frustration. And that tension comes to its head when Martha asks Jesus to intervene. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." I love that passage, right? I mean, it's so honest. Tell her to get up and to help me. I'm alone. It's important that this language, it's not incompetence, it's not being obsessive. Rather, the words carry this idea of reality. There's a lot to do. There's people who have arrived at my home and I've welcomed them in. A lot to prepare, a lot to keep track of, a lot to get done. But we can ask, you know, how do we hear Martha's words to Jesus? A demand, a prayer, a whine, or a cry of desperation, exhaustion? Jesus, do you not care? Do you not care? Can you hear in her words, maybe you can feel the sense of abandonment? That I'm by myself taking care of these things. Mary has left me alone. And Martha feels unseen by her sister, unseen by Jesus. Someone needs to help me. And tell her to do so. Jesus, don't you care? It's good for us to pause and ask, you know, how do we perceive Martha? This passage is relatively well known, I think. It's one that maybe sometimes people hear and talk about these two different kind of images. It's not uncommon to say that Mary was right and that Martha was just too stressed out. What's wrong with Martha? But I think we need to take a closer look at Martha and understand how she is feeling and how Luke invites us to identify with her. And so we can talk a number of things, but there's a couple of observations that I want to make sure that we see in this tension that has built, in this tension that has been expressed when Martha comes to Jesus. First, we have to remember that Martha is the one who owns this home, it seems like, and that she has received Jesus. This is an act of faith and an act of discipleship to open her home to this person. She is the host. And therefore, she is engaging in the ancient practice of hospitality, of providing food for one's guests. And Luke emphasizes Martha's attention to her responsibility. She is distracted with much serving. Do you see the way it's described? That she is busy not just doing some tasks, but she is seeking to serve the guests that have arrived. Interestingly, the word that Martha's activities described as service is the word that we get the office deacon from, to serve, diakone, the office of sympathy and service. And therefore, if we see that Martha has opened her home and received Jesus to serve, that we can see that this work that Martha's doing is not wrong. It's not misdirected. Rather, it is a Christian service. A meaningful and even right practice to welcome and to honor and to serve a guest. And therefore, we need to be careful not to dismiss Martha as just one who's working too much, but rather that she is engaged in seeking to bless Jesus and those who have come to her home. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of hospitality, thinking about welcoming people to a table. But that's the image of our passage. One of the things that comes to my mind is my grandmother's table in Milan, Indiana. Milan, known for winning the state championship in basketball way back in the 40s. But there was a really long table that we seemed, almost all of us fit. Sometimes the youngest would be kicked to the kids' table, but almost always we would fit around this huge table. Maybe you can picture a similar thing about what it is to find a place at a meal in someone's home. As I was thinking about hospitality, I came to my mind that I had to go to this meal in college in St. Louis. I don't remember exactly what it was for, but it was some organization, but it was really important that you had to dress, you know, a certain way. And I was very nervous that I would have the right manners and I would use the right silverware and do everything right, you know, at this special dinner, and how that is a contrast to the image of hospitality. There's nothing wrong with special dinners, right? But that's not what hospitality is. Hospitality is opening your home, opening your table, that somebody would have a place of welcome. I've been reading lately a book about hospitality by a woman named Rosaria Butterfield. And she has this great phrase of describing it as radical, ordinary hospitality, of seeing strangers as neighbors and inviting neighbors to become friends. Of seeing your home not as mine, but as God's gift that we can bless others with. And I mentioned that image of hospitality and maybe to evoke your own thoughts of that, because this Greek word diakone, to serve, it is at the heart of the Christian life. What Martha is engaging in is good. The deacons were called first to serve hungry and overlooked widows, to give them food. And one of Paul's central ministries of his apostleship was not just teaching, but when he went from church to church, that he raised money to help with the famine in Jerusalem, to raise money and food to care for other Christians that were hungry. You see, here is a broad context of service, of caring for one's well-being, one's body, one's physical life. And so Martha is engaged in such things. But we're told that she was distracted by it. She was distracted by much serving. Jesus, will you not help me? And that brings us to Jesus' words. To Jesus and his response to Martha's request, her cry, her demand. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And Jesus' response, one of the things we see right away, we're reminded of, that's already been hinted at, but becomes clear, an important truth, that even good things, hospitality, Christian service, taking care of your family, your neighbors, can become what's called a distraction, a source of anxiety and trouble. Even while seeking to love or seeking to do what is good, that we can lose oneself or lose what matters. I think we know this, but it's good to be reminded in our passage of that possibility and that reality that Martha was distracted with much serving. She's doing something good, but yet is overwhelmed and anxious and troubled. As I said, it's not hard for us to imagine Martha's experience, that she is upset, that it's demanding work to open one's home and to care for someone, especially someone that you value and love. And we can imagine her thoughts, maybe, as she goes to Jesus, as she's thinking about her sister, God, I'm trying. Don't you see? Look what's happening. I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to do what is good, but I'm alone. I'm assuming that many of us can relate to that sense, that irritation, that stress, that worry. Why am I the only one? Why do I take care of everything? Whether that's true or not, how often we might say something like that. Why is no one caring for me? And how does Jesus enter into that with his words? I want us to see the contrast when Martha comes with anxiety and with stress, with trouble to Jesus, and his response right away is to say her name twice, Martha, Martha. In that culture especially, which was an expression of care, an emotional expression of receiving one with tenderness. That Jesus starts off by saying her name and even acknowledging and saying what she's feeling. You are anxious and troubled. It's possible that we might hear that as a rebuke, but I think that would be incorrect, especially the way he starts. But I think what Jesus is starting with is saying that he sees Martha. That he sees her, that she's not invisible, and that he acknowledges her experience and her feelings. He acknowledges her condition, that she is distracted and troubled. Back in 1975, there's a couple interesting things that happened. I was born in 1975, but there was also a novel that was published by an author named Saul Bellow called Humboldt's Gift. We read this as a part of a book discussion a couple years ago here at the church. If you're looking for a book to read, I recommend it. It's kind of long, but it's good. But way back in 1975, it was anticipating kind of maybe modern culture, and it was one of the first novels that wrote a lot about being distracted, about having too much going on. Human interaction was often pictured as kind of this frenzy. And Bellow was interested in exploring, as an author, the difference between stimulation and gratification, the difference between information and actual knowledge, and the idea of the difference between activity and meaning. And one critic, reflecting on certain passages of the book, writes, "We are obviously distracted. We are obviously distracted. But the question is, what should we be paying attention to? What should we be paying attention to?" If you're like me, that is a question that resonates. We are obviously distracted, but what should we be paying attention to? In a similar way, Jesus evokes this, "Martha, you are distracted and troubled, but one thing is necessary." One thing. And then, moving to invite her into that one thing, he talks about the image of food. Do you see what he says? "Your sister Mary has chosen the good portion." Jesus uses a food pun to talk about this, which I think is very intentional. On this table of things, "Martha, all the things that you prepared, Mary has chosen the best item, the best serving, the best portion, the best cut." Jesus is saying that that best portion is him. That he is the one that is needed to be remembered, that he and his word needs to be received. In the midst of this meal, this preparation and service, he is the best portion. And he's inviting Martha to be served by him. He's inviting the one who was busy working to rest. He's inviting the one who's busy with much service to be served. He is inviting Martha to himself. "Let me serve you. Let me welcome you to what I have brought." In a strange way, Jesus, the guest, is even presenting himself as the host. "I welcome you. I provide a meal. I nourish you." It's a wonder upon wonder. But in saying these things, Jesus is inviting Martha to consider that he cares for her and not just the activities of that house. He cares for her, not simply the tasks that are before her. That Jesus is inviting her to consider that she is important and not just how the table is set. Now, I mentioned this already a couple times. I want us to be careful that this passage does not give us an either-or situation, because Scripture tells us that hospitality is good, and that we see, as we think about in our own family, in our neighborhood, in our church, that God is calling us to love and to serve one another and our neighbors, and that Luke's gospel has taken great care to make sure that we know that tending to someone's physical needs, giving food or helping someone in their brokenness and their wounds, that these are acts of Christian life, the Christian discipleship, and they are good. But we cannot lose ourselves in only doing good and lose the one thing, which is Jesus. Jesus is shifting the question. Martha has come, in a sense, to Jesus and said, "Choose between the two sisters. Choose between me and Mary." And Jesus resists that option. If you were here last week, you saw that he shifted the lawyer's question. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? Kind of wanting to create this sense that my neighbor is the one who is worthy. And Jesus changed that question to ask, are you being a neighbor? Are you living as a neighbor? Now, Martha comes and asks, will you tell Mary to help me? And Jesus changes the question to ask, what portion are you choosing? Martha, what portion are you taking hold of? What portion was Martha choosing? She's active. She's caring for others. But somehow in the midst of it, that she disconnected that service from the one who had come into her home, Jesus himself. I want to be clear, this passage is not a recipe of how never to feel stress again or never to feel frustration. Rather, it's an invitation for us to see our life, our service, our ministry, our care for others, not as disconnected from God, just ours to take care of, but to see it as attached to Jesus and his love, the one thing. The discipleship is not just doing good, but discipleship is knowing the care and the love and the union of God and Christ. If you're like me, I need to be reminded of this all the time. Because if we forget, it feels like we're drowning. Jesus invites us to remember the one thing, the good portion, that Jesus is the one who ultimately invites us to be cared for. Jesus, the one who receives us. Martin Luther had this image of talking about the glorious exchange, that the Christian gospel is this wonder in which Christ connects us to himself, that Christ receives us. He takes upon himself all of our brokenness and our sin and our trouble and our weariness, and he gives to us his life and righteousness and love and forgiveness. We were talking about this a little bit at the Presbyterian Sunday school we had last Sunday over at the office, this idea that we're united to Christ, that he receives us, and we all talked about how it's hard to remember. It seems too good to be true. Hard to remember in the midst of all the voices and the demands of who we are and what we need to do. But this is what we need to hold on to, the one thing, that God came not for our duty and our work, but for us. We are obviously distracted, but what should we be paying attention to? What should we be paying attention to? Jesus invites us to himself, to receive him, to receive the gift of his life and to let him be our host and to see all of our activities as connected to him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray, Lord, that you would meet us where we are. As Jesus saw Martha and acknowledged her experience and invited her to himself, I pray that we would experience that today, that you would see us, and that we'd find rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.